Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank my friends here at Calexico Brewing Company for allowing me to record today's episode. I really appreciate it and enjoy, you know, being here and talking to my guest. And today, you know, we have a special guest. He's here to talk about, you know, something that's on the ballot in this upcoming elections. And it's informational, making sure that the community knows, you know, what's about and why you should vote on it. So my guest today is Dr. Leonard Johnson. Thank you for the president of IVC. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I want to start by thanking you and your staff, you know, reaching out. I think that this election season and even in June, I've been super busy. You know, more people are listening to the podcast and it shows when, you know, I don't have to reach out and because when I was telling you earlier that when I first started, I kind of like had to beg some of the candidates to be on because they didn't know what a podcast was or who I was. But it, you know, your staff and other people who have reached out during this election season, reaching out to be here and talking about, you know, whether it's a measure, whether it's them as a candidate, you know, it's showing that people are listening and they're seeing this as a platform to know and to learn about the election. So I want to thank you and your staff for reaching out.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting. You are the talk of the town, so we want to make sure that we get the chance to have this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. So before we get into, you know, why you're here, you know, I want to talk to you and see, you know, learn a little bit about yourself. We're talking about, you know, where you're from and how you got here before we started recording, but tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, like I said, first of all, where you come from, because, you know, people might not know that you're not from the Valley. So tell us a little bit about where you come from and you know, growing up and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, no, I'm not from the Valley, but I have been here for over 6 years now. So I feel like I'll never, quote unquote, be from the Valley, but I feel like I'm at home. The community is incredible. I work for an incredible institution, and I just have been loving it every day since I've been here. Even before I even started, I loved it. But actually, I'm originally from Chicago. I'm born and raised there. This is actually the third time I'm living in Southern California. When I decided to move back to California, I did not want to live in San Diego. A little bit too pricey, and I didn't want to live on the coast. I wanted to find somewhere, you know, maybe in Temecula or the surrounding areas of San Diego, Southern California. And I just got lucky. Honestly, I just got lucky. An opportunity opened up at Imperial Valley College. I interviewed and met some great people, Dr. Jaime, as well as Dr. Garcia. They thought highly of me and brought me on board as Dean of Student Services.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about, you know, Dr. Garcia, you know, some of the things that she's done. But one of the most important things that she did was hire you, you know, as, like I said, as Dean. So, and you worked your way up as Dean. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, that transition and, you know, how you got to where you are right now?
Yeah. When I interviewed, at that moment, I met Dr. Garcia. And then she reached out to me later and said that you know, she was very impressed. She thought that I'll be a great fit for the team and for the campus. So she worked with me through about a 6 month working, you know, going back and forth and having good conversations about bringing me on board as an interim. Everything she was telling me about the institution, all the great things that they were doing and what she was planning as far as the prison program and just so many great things. It really just really perked my interest and my curiosity. And then, you know, I started, and we just did some great work. I mean, Dr. Garcia, she's a go-getter. She's a risk-taker. She's going to get it done. Her passion is for the students and the well-being of the community, which was 100% aligned with my passion and interest. So we just clicked it off. And I honestly thought it was like a Batman and Robin or what is it? Wonder Woman and Batman. We just really kicked it off and we did a lot of good work together. She had the vision, you know, the vision for the prison program, the vision for the basic needs initiative, the housing project. And I was her right-hand person. So when she moved up to president, she pulled me up to vice president. And then when she decided to leave, you know, I cried like a baby. I was like, please don't go. Please don't go. But she tapped me as well as the board. They tapped me and said, you know, they thought it was my time to continue some of the great work that Dr. Garcia and Dr. Jaime started.
Can you tell us a little bit about the, because I mean, I know there's, you know, the tiny houses or the homeless project in El Centro. Tell us a little bit about that project, because I know that it's there, but I don't really know how it works or, you know.
Yeah. Well, it started basically, we conducted a survey probably in 2017. And that's when we just surveyed, because it was a few students who we knew that they were homeless or dealing with some homeless food insecurities. So he's like, let's investigate this more. So we surveyed roughly about 300 students. No, more than that. It was about 1,000 students. But out of that 1,000 students, about 200 plus said that they were either dealing with food insecurity or housing insecurity. And one family in particular, a husband and wife, were living in their cars. At that point, you know, Dr. Garcia and the team, we all said, we got to do something about this because this is a problem. We have great, great intellectual students. Like this family, I think the female had about a 3.5 GPA and the male had a 3.0. Now, we know in Imperial Valley, living in your car and going to school at the same time and maintaining that type of academic excellence is impossible long term. Yeah. You can only do that for a semester or two before the wheels will fall off, literally. So at that point, we started really investing in our food. We started our basic needs kitchen, our IVC kitchen pantry. We started looking for housing opportunities, and Dr. Garcia was out front trying to, she had this concept about the tiny home project. I think there was another school, I think in Oregon, that had some tiny homes dedicated for students. So she started actively looking into that, looking for different resources, because of course that was going to be always the biggest challenge, finding someone to finance it. We got lucky. We had a pilot program with all these conversations out in the community when the pandemic started. The county reached out to us and donated, I think, 12 trailers. So this gave us an opportunity to house students, get that ball rolling, come up with some of our practices and, lease agreements and all that stuff to see how to test the waters. And then right after we got the trailers, we got the grant working with the city. The city got city of El Centro got a grant from the state, I think about $3 million to start the tiny homes in collaboration with IVC or IVC, the foundation. And that's where it came. And we got 26 tiny homes. Since we started, we have always kept those homes filled. The students have seen tremendous success, absolutely tremendous. I mean, GPAs went from 1.0 to like 2.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, and students are transitioning in and transitioning out and getting jobs, graduating. You name it, it is a huge, huge success. And so now the next endeavor is we're working with San Diego State because we plan to expand our housing program. We did receive a grant, but now we're just trying to figure that out, the finances and so forth. And hopefully within 2 to 3 years, we'll have some more houses for our most vulnerable students.
Yeah, and it's something that surprised, I think, not only me, but a lot of people that, you know, you have college students who are homeless, and you know, looking into it, you know, the reality is that, you know, it's not only IVC, it's, you know, universities that have homeless students that might spend a night in the library or in the school parking lot because they can't afford, you know, homes, and housing here in the Valley isn't as, you know, it's getting expensive, but it isn't as expensive as, say, let's say San Diego or San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, it's amazing that such a quote unquote small college like IVC mm-hmm. is doing thing are doing things like this because, like you said, like I'm an IVC alum, and you know, I don't think I ever met or talked to any of my classmates that was struggling with, maybe they didn't share it, mm-hmm. but I mean, that's the reality. There's, mm-hmm. they are students who are struggling with, you know, food or housing and, you know, working in education. I know that, you know, we do have students as well in the lower levels that are also homeless. So, you know, it's amazing that, you know, we're able to pilot some of these things that were an example to other bigger universities that they can, you know, feed off what we're doing. And yeah.
Yeah. You know what? This, you know, I have been in higher ed for the last 25 years. So this is not new. I'm going to be honest with you. Students being homeless, students being food insecure is very, very, very common. The difference, and that's one thing I love, absolutely love about Imperial Valley, is we act. Again, back to that family concept. We come together. I have never been within, you know, being working in higher ed for so long, I have never worked so closely with the cities, worked so close with in the County Office of Education, worked so closely with all these different entities mm-hmm. across, and everyone have a genuine interest in making things happen. And I think that's the beauty of it. We see gaps and we work together, we come together as a unit and then come up with some solutions. I think that's so profound. And like I said, that's one of the many things that I love about Imperial Valley and Imperial Valley College. And that's one of the reasons why we're a top 10 institution, because of our collaboration, because of our innovation, our ability to work with everyone and find solutions to these complex problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to me, you know, being somebody that's an alum from IVC, it's something that, you know, it's something to be proud of that, you know, we're able to work as a community mm-hmm. and make sure that, you know, we're not only producing, you know, students that can go out into the, you know, workforce and mm-hmm. be productive and successful, but, you know, we're making sure that, you know, they have a place, a safe place where they can, you know, learn not only on campus, but, you know, outside, make sure that, you know, they're, you know, because, you know, having somewhere to a quiet place where you can go yes. and sleep, shower, eat and study is really important to, mm-hmm. you know, becoming a successful student.
Yeah.
And IVC is doing it. It's an honor to,
yeah.
to, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that I'm a graduate. I graduated from IVC, especially because when I graduated, you know, social media wasn't, you know, that, you know, that kind of, I turned 40 in March, so I'm going to be almost 41. So, you know, I grew up with social media, but back then it wasn't like a huge thing. So, and I don't think I have it on my bio, but, you know, yeah, I'm an IVC alum. And it's something that, you know, it makes me proud to see the things that you know, the college I went to is doing. And you know, you, like I said, you were here as an assistant president, or was it? Vice president,
yes.
When, you know, all this was going on, but, you know, you're a huge part of it and something that you're continuing even after, you know, Dr. Garcia, you know, left. And also Dr. Jaime.
Yes, Dr. Jaime.
You know, the like you said, you're following in huge, you know, footsteps, you know, with these two past presidents. So,
yeah.
And it's something that you're able to continue.
Some big shoes to fill. Yeah. Both Dr. Jaime and Dr. Garcia have some big feet. I'm telling you, don't tell I said that, but it's some big shoes to fill. But, you know, working with them for the past six plus years, and still having conversations with them on a regular basis, really helps because they have some insight that, is truly invaluable. And like I said, that passion, that commitment to the community is unparalleled. It's just honor. All this is like a dream. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, and I'm still waiting for someone to pinch me and wake me up.
Maybe the heat will wake you up one of these days. You know, our nursing program is something that, you know, a lot of students, you know, kind of fight to be in, because it's it's such a, you know, it's a program that, you know, produces a lot of, you know, successful nurses, and, and they a lot of them might not serve here in the Valley, but, you know, they go elsewhere and serve. But can you tell us a little bit about, you know, because working in education, I work at the high school, you know, something that, you know, I see now that I didn't see when I was going to high school was we focus, you know, we try to focus a lot on not only sending kids to colleges or universities, but making sure that there's a an area where they can do like technical, like with cooking, welding, all these things. But, you know, is nursing and there's other, you know, programs in at IVC that aren't 100%, you know, making sure that somebody goes to the next level, but they get a certificate and they're able to get a job and be productive. Can you tell us about other programs that you guys have in IVC?
You know what? We have so many programs, one for transfer, those students who want to go on to the UCs and the CSUs. But we have a lot of technical educational programs, nursing, post, the police academy, fire, welding, electronics, construction. We have so many, and those jobs, the beauty of those opportunities, those jobs stay local. You know, for the most part, if you graduate with a nursing degree, you're going to probably work here, you know, hopefully forever. Same with the welding and so forth. Those are great jobs. It impacts the community almost immediately. Mm-hmm. There are so many times that we have had conversations with business people in the community, and it's like they can't find talent. They just can't get enough. And then when they hire from the outside, you know, it's a hit or miss. You know, they may come and they may stay 2 years, they may stay a year, but now you're in the back in the same boat. So we really want to create those local opportunities, feed the job market, particularly with the lithium. You know, we're the Lithium Valley. You know, we call that the white gold of the valley. We need to make sure we support that industry, because if they come here, or when they come here, and they don't have the talent, you know, there's a strong possibility they may not want to stay for too long, because they just don't have the talent.
Yeah, and you know, something that's always said when, you know, we talk about the lithium is that everybody wants to make sure that, you know, we keep it in-house, you know, the jobs, the production, everything stays in-house. But like you said, like if we don't have the people who are ready and know how to, you know, do these jobs, then How are we expecting, you know, to keep them here if, you know, nobody's going to want to come here and train somebody, spend the money and train them, and maybe they go somewhere else and you know, work for somebody else. But if they're already a school or something else that's going to train them here so that they're ready for when the lithium does come, the lithium production does come, you know, that's a good way to, you know, make sure that, you know, we're ready for them when they come.
And I think, and this is another thing I've heard is my experience, I think one thing that since I came from Chicago, I couldn't commute back and forth. You know, some people come here and they work here and they live in San Diego, they work in LA and they go back and forth. When you're in that situation, it's hard to have a true, you're not grounded here. So you're not reinvesting your dollars here. You're not supporting. And then, of course, when the first opportunity opens up close to home, what are you going to do? You know, and that's one thing about our whole Measure B is we want to make sure we build the infrastructure to support this new industry. So and within Measure B, we want to have a complete lithium lab. We already got three programs approved, instrumentation technician, plant operator, and lab technician, all for lithium. So we got those approved. Those will start, I want to say, in the fall of 2023. But we want to continue to build on it, because once the company's here, we want to make sure we have a strong workforce ready for them.
Yeah. Hey, guys, sorry for the interruption, but I want to take this time and thank my sponsors. I want to thank my friends Camilo, Jake, Eric Ortega. I want to thank Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, Ms. Norma Sierra Galindo, IID Director representing Division 5 and serving the entire Imperial Valley,
Will Torres from Valley Sports Network, your Imperial Valley source for sports. I want to thank Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs. With 8 years of experience serving the Imperial, San Diego, and Yuma counties with Mexicali-style hot dogs and taquizas, contact Sergio at 760-562-0057 or look for Sergio's Tacos and Hot Dogs on Facebook. I want to thank Eric Reyes from Los Amigos de la Comunidad, empowering communities together. Finally, I want to thank David Gastelum. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Imperial or San Diego counties, make sure you contact David. He's not only a realtor, but an investor with over 20 years of experience, and he'll teach you along the way in one of the most important investments of your life. Contact David at 760-235-9576 or look for David Gastelum on Facebook. All right, guys, well, now back to the show.
So tell us, you know, you already mentioned Measure B. So tell us a little bit about, you know, about the measure. Like, you know, what's it about? You know, how is it going to impact the voter? Like, what is the voter going to have to give up or contribute to for it yeah. to be a thing?
Measure B is really about the college. About 2-3 years ago, the college embarked on a 10-year master plan, actually a 9-year master plan, a 2030 master plan. And we basically did a full assessment of all the campus needs, the infrastructure needs. We researched the community. We talked to various folks from the community sector, the police, post, fire, city officials, business persons, across the whole county. And we came up with a plan on how we can meet some of the gaps within the county. Within Measure B, the signature program will be like an emergency response, public safety, regional public safety center. What that entails is we'll have posts, we have our police academy, we'll have our fire academy, we have our EMS, we'll have some components of our nursing and so forth, but all the things that's around emergency management and public safety will be housed there. Right now, many of our law enforcement and firefighters and EMS folks, they all get training outside the county. So what happens is, in talking to the sheriff, Fred Miramontes, he said they spend about $20,000 per officer to get trained in Riverside. Having those local resources on site is going to save the county thousands and possibly millions of dollars over time, because now you don't have to pay for travel. You don't have to pay for room and board. You don't have to pay for food and so forth. You don't have to pay. You're not paying a premium for the use of the training facilities, mm-hmm. because, of course, if it's local, you know, IVC is not trying to make a profit off the county. That's never has been our goal. Our goal is to make sure we support the infrastructure of the county. And then plus the key point is, our own students have to travel to complete some of their trainings and their certification. Which can be cost prohibited, because some students have to pay anywhere between $1,000 or $1,500 just to be in a program with their uniforms and so forth. If it's local and we have it all, if they can complete their whole series of training here, that's going to save the students millions of dollars. And also, it's not going to, you know, if I have to come out with, say, $2,000 and I don't have it, I'm probably not going to not going to take that major. Mm-hmm. So I may go into something that I can afford.
Yeah.
Now I just impact that workforce in that area. So that's some of the things that's going to come out in Measure B. It will cost the taxpayer roughly about 3 cents per $100. What that is about assessed value of their homes. So it's about, for a $100,000 home, it's going to be about $25 to $30.
A year?
A year. Year. So if it's a $300,000 home, it's going to cost about less than $100 of assessed value. So that is the con. But I think at the end of the day, you're investing in the college, you're investing in the community. That money will come back to the community via job, via tax revenue, via not sending people into another county. So the county and other agencies, they can reinvest those dollars back into the community in a more meaningful and beneficial manner. So that's our signature program, but we have so many other things. IVC has been, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary this year. Uh-huh. So in many of our facilities, even though we have done a great job in upgrading them now, many of our facilities are very old. And they're, I mean, right now, some of our AC units just go down in the middle of the summer. Yeah. And trust me, not having AC in the summer is not a good thing. And it's kind of hard to learn in a class that's 100 degrees. Yeah. So those are things, you know, basic maintenance of the campus, as well as we want to build, like I said, a lithium lab to support this new industry, which will also create more jobs and opportunities for future students. So those are some of the components that we want to get out of this grant.
Yeah, and you know, talking to, especially here in Calexico, you know, there's our PD is really, you know, small. We need more police officers. Mm-hmm. And talking to the past police chief, and I feel like it's a common thing when, you know, when you're hiring a police officer, you want somebody that knows the community. Mm-hmm. So you want somebody that's from the valley, or from at least from you know, the perfect role would be somebody that's from the city that yeah. they want. But mm-hmm. if it's somebody from the valley, you kind of, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to lean towards hiring them because they know the people, mm-hmm. they know the environment. So if we have the, you know, a school that's going to have the police academy and train them here, and instead of, because sometimes when they go away mm-hmm. for the police academy, you know, they'll meet somebody over there.
Yes.
They'll stay over there. And it's a common thing.
It's common. Yeah. It's very common. Yeah. It's, you know, if there is something about, you got to have a love for the community. Mm-hmm. You have to me, I think that is, you know, even when I'm interviewing people, you know, yes, if you come from out of the area, whatever, I got to feel that passion. You got to feel that passion for the community. I can't serve you if I don't love the community. I don't love the people I serve. And it's organic if you're here. Mm. It's really, truly organic. If you're here and you went through, you went to IVC, you graduated from IVC, you went to Calexico High School or whatever, you already have that natural, I love the community. I'm gonna do what's in the best interest of the community.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. And that's the beauty of our technical programs is the students that do go in those programs, they actually stay here, they work here, they contribute to the community, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned it's not only the police department, but it's, you know,
fire
mm-hmm. which, you know, even here in Calexico, that's mm-hmm. a need. You know, you know you're focusing on a lot of the needs that, you know, the valley has mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, you know, those professions. Yeah. And you're looking towards the future when it comes to lithium, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win any way you look at it. And like you mentioned, you know, if you have a home that's valued at $400,000, it's less than $100, or
$400, probably about $120. So it's about $25 to $30 per assessed value of $100,000. So $300,000, you're looking at about $100 a year.
So,
which to me is, you know, put like this, I'm going to vote yes on the ballot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I try not to, you know, when it comes to candidates, but when it comes to something like this, you know, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, yeah, voting yes on this measure, mm-hmm. you know, would benefit, mm-hmm. you know, our communities. And in reality, like, if you look at it, you know, if you're a parent, you know, it might be something that your son or, mm-hmm. son or daughter might be, you know, going into in the future, you know, becoming a police officer, mm-hmm. firefighter, going into lithium. Not that lithium is going to become a thing here in the valley. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to help the, you know, everybody in the community if you really think about it.
Yeah. And I think another thing is a very important thing to note is small Imperial Valley College, out of 1,300 plus community colleges in the country, is a top 10. Wow. According to Aspen Institute, which our former President Obama said, this is the Community College Oscars Award. That's how they could. This is the cream of the crop. This is something that you can't buy. I can't give Aspen money and say, put us as a top 10. Mm-hmm. This is something that they are research arm. They look for trends. They look for colleges that have strong completion rates, strong learning outcomes, strong workforce development outcomes, strong equity outcomes, and strong completions. So they look at this and they look at it over time. And they're trying to find out which institution is excelling in these categories. IVC is a top 10. Yeah. So your money is going to get put to good use because we're doing a lot of things right. Because to be in that classification, top 10 in the nation, and really, we just had our visit a couple of weeks ago. I think we have a good, strong chance of being number one. Definitely in the top three. Because we're doing some amazing work.
Yeah.
So it's something that our community can brag about.
I think, a lot of the times when there's kind of these kinds of measures on the ballot, what people are a little bit worried about is oversight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are they making sure that, the money's being well spent? It's not, misspent here or there. Because, especially in mm-hmm. I can't say for a fact, but, here in Calexico, a lot of people feel that when it comes to a measure, a bond that is passed here locally in the city, sometimes they feel like, it's not, all of a sudden, we're short here, we're short there, and things change when it comes to, materials, the value, So, oversight, who's in charge or who can people, go and see when they feel like, the money's not being spent?
That's a good question. This is a general obligation bond. We will have a citizens oversight committee that's going to be responsible, that's going to basically over provide independent, not IVC folks. It's going to be an independent citizen overview committee that's going to oversee the usage of these funds. They usually meet about once a month. We already have one for our previous bond. They meet about once a month. They look at the financials, look where money is going here and there. They audit it and everything, so to make sure that everything is the monies are being spent accordingly. No money, no salaries will be paid out of this bond. No faculty, no administrator, no staff salaries outside of salaries supporting the exact usage of the bond. This isn't our first bond, but we just continue to. I mean, we had a bond, Measure J, that we spent wisely, and we built a lot of great things to get the college where it is today. And this is just taking us to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned, from when I graduated to now, the campus is completely different. There's a lot of changes, positive changes.
Yeah.
And like you said, this isn't your first bond that you've passed, and you've spent the money wisely. Mm-hmm. But I think oversight is a huge something that's always on people's mind when they're deciding whether to vote or not, yes or not on a bond, because I mean it does happen, and mm-hmm. It's obviously people do, it's coming out of their pockets, so they want to make sure that it's being spent where they say it's being spent.
Yes.
But, you know, making sure that, that's a good thing when you say, no salaries are going to be paid with this bond. Yes. It's obviously people who are working on this project, or hired for the specific project, then obviously they're going to be paid from that. But
yeah. And I think another thing that's important, which Measure J, our previous bond supported, was the expansion of our nursing facility. Living through this pandemic really exposed us in so many ways. If you talk to all the hospitals in the area, they all are short in nursing. They all are short in LVNs and healthcare professionals. Because we don't have the capacity, we don't have the infrastructure to support it. Our previous bond supported the expansion of our nursing program. So we can start closing that gap, that employment gap, which is incredible. It you know, we have our baby boomers getting older and older. We need to have healthcare professionals in these seats, yeah. Or it's only going to cost the county more money because they're paying for these traveling nurses, which I understand it costs anywhere between $200,000 and $300,000, where you can have a local nurse who, again, what we talked about is someone who cares about your family and they know that you're the neighbors, yeah. So, you know, so it's a different, and you're going to pay one third of that mm-hmm. price. So that what our previous bond measure did gave us the ability to expand our nursing program, have some of the latest technology. We hope to increase capacity with this as it goes through all the regulations and approval processes. But that's what we have to do. And the same thing with this measure is to make sure that we add capacity to some of these key infrastructural programs.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, you know, the nursing program and it's really, you know, because I have friends that, you know, were part of the nursing program that are now, you know, nurses that during the pandemic, you know, I saw them like posting, you know, all these pictures and, you know, giving, you know, even, you know, I would reach out to them like, you know, hey, you know, what do we have to do to make sure that we're safe? And, you know, they would kind of like, so it's really important to have people that are in your community that are, you know, in that field, because, you know, you obviously know that they're going to mm-hmm. care for you better than somebody that's
yeah.
just traveling, passing by. And, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of those traveling nurses, you know, made way more money than, yeah. you know, people. And even that kind of made our local nurses yes. become traveling nurses because, like, man, mm-hmm. there's more money in that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if we don't have the need, then we won't have to spend or entice other nurses to become traveling nurses.
So. Exactly. So all of it ties together. Mm-hmm. And this is building our community and making it.
Yeah, it trickles down to, you know, a lot of the, you know, the positions and jobs here in the community, and especially those in Lithium that hopefully will come soon and you know, they'll stay here.
Yes.
And they'll create jobs, they'll create more money for the community. But
yeah,
I think, you know, it's hard for people to see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you being here and talking about it kind of, you know, make sure that people see the big picture.
Yes.
You know, you paint the picture. So,
yeah.
So it makes it easier for people to understand where the money's going to, how it's going to really help the community, how it's going to impact positively the mm-hmm. community.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, you know, if you ask me, you know, yeah, it's a yes on Measure B.
Great. Well, I appreciate that. And we appreciate this. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a game changer for the community. Mm-hmm. And the stronger we can make our educational institutions, the stronger we make our community. Mm-hmm. And that's at the end of the day. That's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, especially having a son that's, you know, 14, pretty soon he's going to graduate high school. And you know, obviously, we want them to go, you know, somewhere and study. But, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that there is quality education and programs here in the Imperial Valley,
mm-hmm.
you know, gives you that peace of mind that mm-hmm. no matter what they decide or where they get accepted or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, if they decide to stay home and study here, you know, there's,
yeah.
you know, quality education and programs that, you know, that'll make them successful and productive in our community. So.
Yeah. And roughly about 60 to 70%, give or take, of our high school graduates go to IVC at some point, which one thing that Aspen said was really incredible because you don't see that in other communities. So we're really a true pillar in the community. I think it's just, to me, it's a wise decision to continue to invest in mm-hmm. something that has such a huge impact on so many people's lives.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Johnson, anything that I didn't ask you or talk about that you want to mention about Measure B or just Imperial Valley in general?
I would say the whole community, wish us luck on getting one, Measure B, and hopefully we get that approved. We're asking for your support. Go out and vote November 8th, regardless. Mm-hmm. But of course, I hope that you vote yes on Measure B. And also just wish us luck on the Aspen Institute. The Aspen Institute will make a final decision in the spring. And your very own college, Imperial Valley College, may be number one in the whole nation. So my fingers and toes are crossed. And then by that, if we do win, if we are the number one institution, they will give us a $1 million grant.
Oh, wow.
So that's a added benefit. Yeah. But I think the beauty of it is just to say that your community college, which IVC is truly your community college, mm-hmm. is doing great things. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue that great work for you.
Yeah. And, you know, that, you know, learning this, that, you know, even being number 10 is mm-hmm. is a accomplishment in itself. You know, I didn't know that if, you know, if it wasn't for you, but, you know, it goes to show that, you know, the Imperial Valley College is doing some amazing things. And in reality, you know, they're doing them quietly and not really boasting about it because, you know, it's something that's normal to you, to the college, where like, it's just business as usual, you know, making, you know, amazing things that with the students and the community that you really don't need to make it a huge thing, but you know, being number 10 in itself is an accomplishment. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah,
for sure. Well, Dr. Johnson, thank you for coming down and talking to us about Measure B. I really appreciate you coming down and enjoying the conversation. It's the first time I met you, and you know, I was following Dr. Garcia, and then you came aboard and you kept the ball rolling. So thank you for you know, all the things that you've done for IVC and for our students and our community. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jose. I really appreciate you. Thank you for this opportunity.
No, you're welcome.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching. And don't forget to vote November 8th. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.